Three, two, one.
Tomas, that music can mean only one thing. It's time for the first call. Happy Sunday evening to you and everyone else out there in TV land. How are you, Tom?
I'm pretty good. I've watched a lot of TV this weekend.
You watched a lot of TV this weekend?
TV, no, sports, you know, sports.
Unless you watched it like with a tin can and a string, you were watching TV, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my house is set up for sports watching. I have the perfect for sports watching. I got the perfect
setup. Got it.
But it's, you know, the beginning of the NBA, the beginning NBA playoffs, the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a good time for being a couch potato.
good.
Plus, it was a little chilly in Chicago this weekend, so I decided I'm not playing golf.
It was chilly, but it was sunny.
Yeah, well, yesterday morning I went out. It was 37 degrees.
Yes. My bird bath froze over. True story.
I went to the farmer's market. I had on a short sleeve shirt and a light jacket. I was freezing.
When you thought you could put your winter jacket away in Chicago, you were wrong.
Yeah. No, today was nice, but still. I'm looking forward to a little bit of a warm up this week, but we'll be back next week. Anyway, you know, I was kind of trying to figure out, like, I'm looking at the market pre-market tonight. And I mean, I think that 99% of the people, and I went home pretty flat.
Yes.
I talked about that on Friday, and so I'm not long, not short here, nothing, but I got to tell you, I think 99% would have bet down opening tonight.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. And it looks like they're going to open up here. It's 7 or 8 points is what it's showing pre-market, 5,014 versus 503.5 where it closed. I don't know, man. I was taking a look at all the markets and all of them had a little bit of a capitulating moment, right? Like, you know, you had even the S&Ps with a big spike down. You had obviously the NASDAQ, which was the weakest of the group all of last week. You had some gold, had a big spike higher. NASDAQ was down almost 5% for the week. S&P's down 3%.
Yeah.
So you had some capitulation. Volatility popped up, but didn't make new highs by the end of the week. So I don't know. Maybe
it was ugly. It was ugly. They turned it down. It was ugly expiration.
Maybe we can catch a little footing now. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it was good. They hurt some of the big kids.
Yeah, sure did.
They pulled the rug out from under the NVIDIAs of the world. And
NVIDIA down 85 points or something on Friday.
Something like that. 80, yeah. I sold some NVIDIA on the close. I bought it back a couple points lower and then I covered it. So I don't have any short NVIDIA tonight.
That's okay.
It's all right.
I think it's okay. I think it's good.
I'm going to do we trade them and how?
Are you? You're just going to trade, not think?
Unfortunately, I'm not capable of just trading, not thinking. So, but I'm going to come in with a much flatter position tomorrow than I've had in the last couple
of time.
That's for sure. Yeah. That's for some, I got flat on the close. I don't know why either.
You know, the Dow was flat this last week.
But that was up on Friday, like pretty big, I think. But I don't remember why. Was it UNH or something?
Yeah, but flat on the week. Like it had a nothing week for the 5 days.
Yeah.
Just nothing. Went nowhere.
Russell was kind of strong too, relative. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like you say, they're coming for the pigs a little bit.
Yes. Coming for the pigs. But Russell had that big down move and then kind of came back. But I think the Russell was the weakest of the.
I mean, pre-market, they're showing the NASDAQ up like 40 or 50 points and the S&P's up like 10. But we'll see. I'm offering some S&P's. The sound on my computer's broken tonight, but I'm offering some S&P's at 20. They opened at 17.
They got as high as 18.
Well, I'm offering 20s.
Well, then you can't get done. 19.5 is the high right now. NASDAQ up 60.
Phil to 20.
Here's your 20. Russell, the high of the night right now, Sadnoff. Russell up now and the Dow up 100, volatility in by 25 cents. Bonds down 10, 114.10.
I don't like that. I thought that the bonds did not act very well on Friday at all. And I don't like the fact that they, you know, we got that 116 print on at nighttime on whatever night that was, Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And was that Thursday night or Friday night? I mean, or Wednesday night. Now I'm confused.
That was on the 19th. Today's the 21st.
So that was Thursday night.
Yes.
And yeah, now we're back down to, you know, 114.08. I'm a buyer.
You're a buyer. I know you are. You've been a buyer all week.
I'm a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, hey, it looks like I saw the top tick tonight.
That's what I said. The top tick.
How does Daddy do it? Every once in a while, the
yes.
The electronic system throws you a bone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody out there right now is bitching. I can't believe I paid 20.
I know. they are at 11.
I know. Not covering them.
There you go. That show some intestinal fortitude for crying out loud.
Well, just I said one. I didn't have any deltas, so you know.
One time.
I figured an up opening would give me. Yeah. I don't like to leave 9 points on the table, but
a guy like you, 9 points. I mean,
now
cut
it's seven.
Up real, you cut
now
him up real good.
I cut him up real good for 5 points. Now it's 7 points.
For 9 points, forget about
nine
it.
9 points, yeah. 9 points. I'd take a trip around the world. But no, I just need the deltas. Need a couple of deltas. I actually, funny thing is, I kind of want them to open higher tomorrow. this market, every day that it opens higher, it's going lower.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, there is no...
Is today going to be the exception or no?
No. This market, if it opens higher, it's going lower every freaking day. So don't... It won't go, I don't think... And then Friday was kind of weird because we opened down and we stayed down. And we closed mm-hmm. down, still mm-hmm. lows, even though we did have a couple rallies intraday. But I think that they... one day will gap open down and then... You know, This week is going to be dominated. Well, early in the week will be dominated by, I think, a little bit of a leftover. You know, when we close week on expiration, we have a tendency to go weak the next couple of days,
mm-hmm.
you know, after Monday, Tuesday. But I think this week will eventually be dominated by, it's got all the big kind of earnings coming out this week.
Yeah, you do. Tesla, Meta, to name just a few for sure.
Yeah, isn't it? Microsoft too, I think.
Microsoft, Intel. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Whirlpool. I'm just kidding.
I don't even remember the symbol for it. Was it WHR?
You are correct.
Okay. I haven't traded it in probably 5 years. yeah, I mean, it's funny. There are some stocks that I need that I actually need to rally, and they look so bad. Tesla's one of them.
Yeah, I was going to say Tesla's probably the biggest one for you, right?
Yeah, I can use a rally in Tesla for sure because we're just net long in there now. And I can use a rally in, oh my God, in Intel.
Yeah, Intel can't buy itself an uptick.
No, Intel hasn't had an uptick since it traded, what was it? Was it 60? I don't remember what number. Yeah,
in the mid-50s, back in
mid-50s, the mid-50s, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it hasn't had an uptick. Where's it now? 30?
34.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been basically down every day for a straight month. Mm-hmm. I'm long it probably... I mean, at this point, we're probably long it in the, I'm going to guess, 38, 39 area,
mm-hmm.
maybe 40. Like, there's no way, you know, we need a massive move into. This is going to be
an ending. It's not in the 30s, what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix was the first earnings play so far where you could sell premium, and it actually worked. Nothing else has worked so far. In Intel, I think it's going to be, again, very one-dimensional. Intel is a tough two-sided premium sale. Tesla, you can sell two-sided premium. But, you know, the expected move in Tesla, just take a guess what it is. Don't look.
I'm not looking.
What do you think it is in Tesla, the expected move? Off the top of your head.
For the week or for the month, what do you say?
No. For just this week, for earnings. And I'm just going by memory because I'm not looking right now, so I'm just going by memory. But
I'm not looking either. So
I think it's going to be, I think it's a lot lower than you think. What do you think it would be?
20?
Yeah, I think it's less than 20.
Let's take a look.
And I mean, we're talking a stock that used to move 50, you know, points,
Oh, yeah, for the week? Oh, my God, it's 13, 14, 13 yeah, and a half.
Right. I was going to say it's really low. If you would ask me to guess without me looking last week, I would have said, 20, 25 in that range for sure. Yeah, it's super low.
13 and a half, yeah.
Right, so how do you play Tesla at $13.50 move? You're not going to sell upside calls.
That would be too smart.
That'd be too smart. And the downside, it's going to look really juicy.
So juicy.
I know.
It's like free money.
Yeah, juicy Lucy. It's going to look like free money and the stock's going to open at 115.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. True. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to play Tesla because I'm already long it. So I think I'm going to have to bite the bullet and recenter. Mm-hmm.
I understand. Ivy rank is good in there too at 88.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have monster Ivy ranks this week. Given what's happened recently, you're going to have monsters. And yep. if we sell off at all on Monday or Tuesday, yeah, you're going to get a couple of monsters. What's the NASDAQ doing tonight?
Volatility in by 15 cents and the NASDAQ up 38. It's about 30 handles off of its highs.
Yeah, bonds only down one now. They had a nice little rally. Looks like they opened up too low. I'm really happy about that bond rally. I got to tell you, even though I probably should have bought some, I didn't have the
intestinal fortitude.
The intestinal fortitude, yes. Mm-hmm. And gold being down tonight is not going to hurt the good kids, that's for sure.
Gold being down any number can't hurt me. 2,400 on the nose right now.
All right, well, we got a packed house tonight. We have a lot of Tasty Traders on. It's going to be a busy week. It was a busy week last week. I know it was April expiration, but markets flying all over the place. We had huge viewership all week. So I'm expecting another week of just a lot of people tuning into Tasty and a lot of kind of fun discussions. We have
Friday's option volume, 56 million contracts from my Taiwanese sources, 29% above recent average levels.
Yeah, but it was expiration, so I got to rule out some of that.
All right, then how about this? The 500 most liquid stocks, the 30-day implied volatility was higher for 265 of them for the week. Volatility is expanding is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yep. That's a good thing, because when volatility expands, you know what that means. It's got to go the other way at some point.
That's right, yes. Volatility
mean reverting at some point. Yes. Anyway, we got our buddy Pete Momat waiting in the green room, so let's bring him on.
All right, my man, Mr. Pete Momat, IG himself. How's everything?
Gentlemen, how are you? Things are great.
Good.
Exciting week last week. I think we're going to have an action-packed week this week. It is getting nicer in Chicago, which is great. So all things are good. And best of all, I get to see you, Tone. And I'll see you enough. Absolutely. Look at you back in a seat. It's good to see my friend.
The pool's going to be open next week. Come on by. Jump in.
So my pass was finally approved. I was told I was on the wait list. Now, I didn't know quite what the wait list meant. I just kept on setting in the $200 a month to maintain my wait list status.
You're a junior member. We had somebody
approved
pass away.
Now. Oh, so
pass away. You're a junior member.
So I've got like the, what is it, like the 8 o'clock at night to 8:30 and then the 4.
You can't use the gazebo.
I was going to say, the regular hours, you can't mix and mingle. It's only the off hours.
You can't use the pool on holiday weekends either.
Right. Or weekends for that matter. Or days when it's sunny.
Tuesday through Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is going to be great. You know what? I just ordered a new American flag Speedo. It's going to be perfect,
good.
I got flags of all the nations. So this is really going to be exciting.
I like it.
Yeah, good stuff. Well,
it's good to see you, Pete. Tell me something good about bonds that Tom could be happy about. Because he told me last week, I forget what it was. Was it bonds, Tom? Did he tell you not to buy them or something?
We were talking
That's
about...
I told him? No. I told Pete I was a buyer. And actually, okay, so the truth is last week when we were talking, Pete, you wanted to sell the notes. I wanted to buy. I did buy the notes. And it actually... You were right. Initially, they dumped them. They dumped on them. But you know what? On Thursday night, we unloaded all of them for a really nice profit. So the trade actually worked out. Now the notes are back to
107.24.
107.24. And I just started to reload. Let me see where they are tonight.
They got down into the teens.
Really want, Tom, you want the notes more than the twos.
No, I don't like trading the twos because I like trading the options.
Oh,
so I'm looking right now. Let me just take a look. I want to go back to the there's actually the 106 and a half puts. I've been a seller of those, and I'm going to offer some. I've been selling some at 28. Their market's 27, 20. Oh, I just got filled at 28. My sound's not working tonight, but I'm going to start selling some of those puts at 28 again. The 106 and a half puts at 28. Kind of
your sound's not a metaphor for anything, right? Like we say, my
sound. No, I did something. I clicked on a button or something, and I lost my my computer sound. And I tried to do everything to fix it, but no bueno.
Have you restarted your computer?
Yes, I have.
Don't go into kooky town now. Okay.
Yeah, don't go kooky. But anyway, got filled on some at 28. Working some more at 28. Nothing done.
Yeah, that was a nice cover on Thursday too. Just because, I mean, they gave you the, you know, they gave you
the rally. It was a tough pull. It was a tough pull Thursday because it looked like
you were pressing. You thought they were going to go to 110. Yeah, depending on how much things escalated. But you see, this is why I think we're going to see rates a little bit higher before they do go lower. I'm inclined to, like, I'm looking for 112 in the long end, and I'm looking for something sub 10, you know, 101.
You're looking for 112. You're looking for 112 in the long bond.
In ZB, yeah, that's where I'd be interested to be long. They're about 114 and a half right now. I just think the only thing that could lift them up was that geopolitical news. We know those rallies never hold. So I just, the tape action to me is, are we down a lot? Absolutely. But the tape action still feels awfully heavy. So, you know, we had a series of auctions last week, and they were all good auctions. The market was out there buying. So it wasn't like people weren't interested in buying the debt. They were all paid through by a couple of basis points. But there is just the tape action seems to me like on any opportunity, whether it be geopolitical or whatever, trade up, these things are trading lower. So I think at some point they're buy. I don't know, Tom, you could be spot on. You're trading the low end of the range here, but I'm trying to be patient and wait a little bit longer on
it. I think you're squeezing too hard. I think they're at a level where they're one of the most interesting plays on the board. Like, I would much rather buy bonds than stocks. And the reason for that is, even though stocks finally had, what do we have? Finally have a 5% sell-off about.
Yeah.
You know, finally, yeah. 5, maybe 6% if you go high to low, but whatever. So we finally got into like what could be considered, you know, a decent little pullback. But
a move we haven't seen in eight months to a year.
But have they really done any damage to the?
No, I mean, they haven't really done
it. You look at SMCI, 23% in a day. That's a lot of damage. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But that's kind of an outlier. I mean, the rest of them. Again, things like Tesla have struggled, Apple struggled a little bit.
Yeah. I'm just saying the reason that I like bonds is what you saw the other night. There's two reasons bonds go higher here. One is because something stupid happens and there's a flight to quality again, and or the market craps out. And two, they just go higher because they've sold off a lot more than stocks. So they're on the butt. Like, I don't care about any of the actual, like, I don't care about any of the macro reasons.
No,
I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right. No, I agree. I look at just really from the tape action side of it, and it's we are down. Again, 5% NASDAQ is great. It feels a lot better than when we were printing new highs every day.
The cyclical markets are back, and the good thing about traders is that cyclical markets are kind of where, you know, cyclical markets are the kind of markets where nobody bitches because this is, you know, this is all you can ask for. You know, when you just squeeze the longs and squeeze the, you know, when you just squeeze the shorts and we're always going higher and everything's an uptick for, you know, 8 straight months, it gets boring. When you mess around with the longs and then you squeeze the shorts a little bit, at least then, you know, nobody can complain.
Yeah. And you know, I still think there's going to be some, I mean, the drive around what we get, you guys hit on a spot on. I was running through Tesla, BA, Meta, IBM, Caterpillar, Intel, all heavy earnings, Microsoft. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of movement in those earnings. So I was looking at, okay, what do you want to do with them? IB ranks high, but there's not a ton to.
Well, there's some stocks. There's some stocks like Boeing, I think, that have earnings this week, which have been which have been really beaten up, like Boeing, Intel, Tesla, they've really been beaten up. But there's other stocks like Meta, which is just, you know, a few ticks
hanging
off the
side. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the beaten up stocks. I mean, this market has a history on binary events of not letting you out. I mean, what happened in UNH last week was incredibly rare.
Right.
When you have a beaten up stock that actually rebounds on earnings. You just don't see that, like, you know, stocks that get beaten up, all the news tends to be bad news. Just like when stocks run a bull market kind of craziness, they all, you know, they just, no matter what the earnings are, they tend to go higher. So it'll be really interesting to see how those stocks, you know, how those stocks act. I mean, Netflix.
Post-earnings, yeah.
Yeah, post-earnings. Netflix going down on earnings, that doesn't surprise me as much because that stock was right off its highs.
Right, right. And I mean, the excuse that they're not going to release subscribers anymore, it's like, oh, well, you know, that should definitely pull $30 out of the market. I mean, makes no sense.
It was more like by the end of the day, I think it was just outside the expected move. I want to say it was like, wasn't it almost 50 or 55 points?
55 points at the end of the day.
Yeah, 55 points at the end of the day, but the expected move was like 50. But it most early on, you know,
it was inside the expected move on the opening. And
what cracks me up about Netflix is rather than just say, hey, we did good, what they said was, well, we cut down on the people that were stealing from us, so we did good.
Right. Like, we got the scoff lures.
Yeah, right. But that's not exactly like,
no.
You're not exactly saying, oh, we're building a great business.
Right.
Everybody's coming up. We just
closed the loophole.
Successful
crossing guard. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, can I switch gears with you for a quick second?
Yeah.
Did the CME, do you know? I thought I read it. I couldn't find it when I went back to try to find it. But did the CME raise the gold requirement for margin?
The margin? Yes.
Does anybody know? They did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, that usually signals like a little bit of a, I don't know if it's coincidence or whatever, but it usually seems like a reversal of the move. Maybe, you know, it's just because I'm short gold. That's
And I think, because remember, the margin requirement is just, it's math. There's 16 different risk arrays that are basically based on 252 days of movement and volatility. So it's just a function of math. So I think what it's telling you is volatility is expanded. The market has a new the average trading range for a material piece of time. And what I mean by material is enough to move the span tables is out enough. So it's, and I think, you know, you and I going back in time when they doubled and tripled margin in silver, when they went from like, you know, $30 to $45, that was that exhaustive piece of it too. So I don't know if I read into the margin piece being that's the top. I mean, certainly the run, 2245 was a lot farther than I thought they were going to go.
Sure.
I thought we were going to get maybe 2150 and then turn. So copper's back above 450, which has been, you know, FCX, if you're looking, you want to play copper from that side, FCX, I know Ilya's been trading that, is one way to play copper. But we saw a good giveaway in gold, silver, get back some ground Friday, get back some ground now. Copper's still holding in there. I think for me, 450 copper's pretty much rich enough for right now. And I'm inclined to think that maybe we trade a little bit lower in copper.
I get Ilya and Vecchio mixed up too. It was Vecchio who was trading
FCX
copper, I believe. Yes.
Okay. I've been trading not directionally copper, but I've been trading a lot of copper strangles in there because they've been pretty good in 2024. Last week was a tough one because I was chasing my tail a little bit.
You were. Yeah. It was hard.
I have found the fills to be pretty damn good in copper, all things considered. Whether you buy the guts and recenter or whether you roll up or down, you know, the untested side, I find that fills to be one tick around mid price.
A lot better than silver, actually. And that's prevented me from trading silver like I used to. It's just a little bit harder getting fills there. Crude nat gas, I can't, you know, we're back down to $83. 86 was rich. We're still at the high end of it. There's not a lot of particular interest there. I think next week is going to be a lot more interesting week, I think, for stocks than necessarily crude or some of the other things. Gold will be interesting, Tone, because definitely some damage put in, but you know, back at 2400, we're just off the spike from Friday, Thursday night, Friday morning. So we're back to where we started, which we kind of, it certainly didn't feel like it when it went, but we haven't given back much ground there. So in other words, I'd like to see a little bit more damage done to say that there's two-way action here. Because right now I don't see the two-way action so much. I think we need to get a little bit more pain on the downside.
You're right, Tom. I don't like this Pete guy either.
Gold is going to be at $1 by the end of the week, Tone. It'll be at $1.
I don't like this guy.
Honestly, I'm surprised it took the CME this long to raise the margins for gold, because I thought they should have been raised a while ago.
You know what? But
the moves in there have been pretty big.
They have been, but it's a function of, again, there is a subjective element to it when markets really move quickly. But I mean, this was a big rally, but it was a measured rally with lots of liquidity in it. And I think it was the case that once the span tables had moved by enough, they made the adjustment. So it was a big change, that in silver too. So we saw that play through, not so much in crude, which again, crude was up from 80 to 80. We get a high of 87, I think. I don't know if we got quite to 87 or 85.50 was the high.
You're looking at a high of 86.97. So
right,
we'll say 87, Pete. You got it.
You're a good man.
You got it.
So crude, I don't know. Dollar's been interesting, but we're still trapped in the same range, 124. Dollar overall is a little bit higher, 106.5 in euro. I'm not going to talk about the yen anymore. It's the same story every day. There's no vol.
No, it's a death trade.
It is the definition of a death trade right now. It's
12. All right, Pete, what's your call for the week? We got to get over to Ilya.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's going to be good two-way action in stocks. I like your idea of some of the beaten up, seeing how some of the beaten up performers play after the market. But I think you get any sizable rally out of earnings, especially into NASDAQ, I'd look to be a seller here. And I think some of the things like copper are a little bit overdone at this point.
No, I think the question is not if there's a sizable rally. Are you a buyer if there's a sizable sell-off?
I think, you know what, if there's a sizable sell-off, I think at some point you'd have, I mean, the pace at which we've come off, I would be interested in taking a look at the downside, depending on when we get there in terms of the week and what gets us there. So yeah, I think if we trade down another 2 or 3%, it's probably interesting. I've got a feeling there's one more rally left in this though. So that's what I'm looking for.
Thanks, Pete. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
We'll bring in my man Ilya. Ilya, what's up?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Good to see you.
Hello, Ilya.
Hello.
All good, man. What's going on?
I mean, they can't seem to make it past that little consolidation range on any of the indices where they closed on Friday. It was kind of like a limp attempt to rally, and they skidded right back into the session lows on Friday, whether it's S&P or NASDAQ or Russell was a little bit jumpier, Dow was a little bit jumpier, but it's really, it's the NASDAQ I'm looking at the most closely, not only because I have that short, but because I think that's kind of the leader. That's where the froth is concentrated. So if you're going to squeeze, that's the place to squeeze. And that kind of leads a tone. And so I'm looking at that. I think this week, maybe the pace of, put it this way, if the pace of sell-off doesn't slow this week, because there's really not anything on the calendar that should spook anyone. If the pace of sell-off doesn't slow this week, then it could get really ugly, because this seems like it's giving the market room for some consolidation at worst.
A little under $400 expected move, $350 expected move, puts you in, you know, 100 handle range of where we started the year. I mean, can you believe that that's the conversation we're having, you know, today? We're like, last week you would have never even said anything like thinking about getting back to the beginning of 2024. So I think there's been a little damage done to the market. And I agree with you. You know, it's hard to buy them. And when it's hard to buy them, that's usually when it's, you know, when it's the time to buy them. So I'm looking for, if there's, I'm looking to nibble. I don't know if you get that. I think you'll get your lows in the middle of the week, but I don't know. I'm optimistic. Everything's that's going wrong is wrong. Like, you know, there's no reason.
That's sort of where I'm at with it also. I think sort of the sum of the fears should be priced in. And if it's not, then they're really out for something much more sizable.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there was going to be a time to kind of like the next Fed meeting is May 1st. There's not really any macro data this week other than GDP that should really spook anybody or even really be a kind of homing beacon for attention. And that's on Thursday. So, and Friday is PCE, but that number doesn't really matter even for those of us that like to watch these kinds of things, because once you see CPI and PPI, you can essentially calculate that number out. So it doesn't really surprise anybody. There's not really a shock risk there. So GDP maybe moves the Fed odds a little bit more, but I doubt it because the market is already so far on the hawkish side of where the Fed benchmark is. So I don't really see anything on this calendar that's going to shock anybody. They should take this as an opportunity to lick their wounds. And if they don't, that's going to be telling, I think.
Okay, so I have two comments. First one is, the sell-off on Friday, Tony, didn't surprise me late in the day because I told you, I felt like if you had short stock baskets on, there was no reason to cover because interest rates were too high. You know, it was like...
You talked about that on the show.
Yeah, it made no sense to cover your baskets. You're better off rolling them for another month because you're getting paid more than you thought you were going to get. Whatever price you did it at, you're getting extra money because we're lower now. So
the
overnight rates have gone higher. The payout on short stock is higher. It makes no sense to cover the basket. So I think that's why there was no buyers on Friday. Even though there was buyers Friday morning, there was none, you know, Friday, because the S&Ps actually, believe it or not, they marked up mm-hmm. on Friday morning. It wasn't a markdown at all, but the end of the day was a nice markdown. Second thing is, I actually think the absence of anything, the absence of any kind of reason to buy is actually really going to be bearish for this market. And in order for mm-hmm. this market to go higher, it is going to have to go lower. But there is something that I think is out there that should spook a lot of people. And that is, if you watch the way the bond market just hasn't recovered after a sell-off, and the sell-off is significantly more than the sell-off in stocks, that I think that people should take that as, doesn't mean you have to be short, but it just means that you need to be careful here, because everybody started buying bonds, myself included, 5% ago almost, you know, because it made sense. We've dropped 10%, but after a 5% drop in the bond market, a lot of us started to buy because we're contrarians. Myself included, when bonds got 119, 118, you know, now they're down to 114. And so I could easily see the stock market, you know, the S&Ps are what? They're just over 5,000, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, I mean, what's another, you know, why can't they be 4,800 and change? 4,830.
They totally can be.
4,850. I know, but well, like this, you know, almost in a blink. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think there's still, generally speaking, too much optimism. I mean, did they take too much out of NVIDIA? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They also took a lot out of Tesla. They also took a lot of Boeing. That, you know, once these stocks, you know, once people are like, well, should I lock in some profits here? I mean, these NVIDIA bulls have been riding this thing. You know, it's insane. Right.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you got to let the speculators and the scalpers get in there to, you know, to try to pick bottoms and, mm-hmm. You know, try to trade it more. The good news is, you know, it's a trading vehicle. The bad news about can't really sell upside in there, because I got a feeling those guys, they're sneaky. They'll split it one day. You know, they'll come out and go, you know, oh, well, we'll make this a $200 stock. So, anyway,
yeah, I mean, I agree completely that there is more downside to the stock market in general, and that there is starting to be an interesting spot here to maybe nibble on the bonds at the long end. I don't see the kind of confirmation in the bonds that I'd
want. No, there's no confirmation. I agree with you.
Pull
no
the trigger on it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready yet, but I'm looking. So I'm looking at ZB. I'm looking at ZN, waiting for it to show me something. I still have the put spreads I've had on the Qs and on SPY. Really, I'm just looking at this point to where I want to take them off, wait for whatever bounce, and put them back on.
Sure.
Because I think at this point, I'm not looking to buy. I'm looking to sell rallies if they have.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. Every rally is a sale until it's not. Right. And, you know, the MO of this market for the last, you know, 2 years has been every sell-off's a buy until it's not.
It's the other thing now, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the other thing.
Yeah, you can't keep a bad market up, essentially.
Yeah, every single rally is a sale until it's not.
Yep.
And maybe that's this week with some of the earnings, but I doubt it. But we'll see. I think it's going to be a great traders market. I do like the way vol's been acting. I do like the way, you know, the volumes and the futures and the options are up. I think it's been good. There's plenty of high volatility now. No complaints anywhere. You know, everybody's theta number is way back up, you know, to levels we haven't seen in 2 years. So I think that's kind of cool.
I took my money out of the dollar longs last week. So I booked them. That worked out well. The only one I still have is the pound, because everything else stopped on Friday. So Aussie stopped falling, Euro stopped falling. The pound just has no bottom. And so it just kept sinking. So I've kept that one on. I've been short that for a while. But other than that, I'm short that from, was it like 127? So I have that, and I'll have it for now, because it seems to still work. But otherwise, I got out of the way, and that's what sort of has me thinking that maybe they're going to try to bounce in the stocks, because if they stopped buying dollars, maybe some element of liquidation has run its course, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm kind of right in the same world, except I stayed long all the currencies. They've been crap too. Yen, whatever. But
oh, yen, I've put that idea on the shelf until the market stops speculating about Fed policy in this kind of active, hands-on way. Like when bonds bottom, I feel like that's the time to go buy yen, but they have to bottom.
Love it.
You let me know when that number is, will you please?
I'll keep you posted.
Keep me, please do. Please do.
I like it. This is good tonight. We're all on the same page. Doesn't happen very often.
You sold.
We're some probably food. All wrong.
Who, me? Yeah, I'm just nibbling here up. Like, it's really weird, Tony. They kind of opened here and they sat there. It's almost like they closed them too cheap or something.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's really moved tonight is not the S&Ps, but the NASDAQ, which opened up 30. I haven't traded it yet, but it's up, what, almost 70 right now?
Yeah, 67. Yeah,
it's yeah. I kind of want to lean into it a little bit, but I have not yet.
Well, then you'd be in Ilya's camp.
Yeah, no. I'm already short NASDAQ, but I want to get a little bit. I want to add a little to my position. I thought they closed it a little too cheap Friday, so I think this little rally here. You know, I mean, it's had a nice little sell-off. What is it sold off? It was 18.5 or 18.6?
Yeah, yeah, 17, just about. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's definitely down in the interesting range right now.
Yep.
But yeah, I think my call for next week is going to be lower, but really good trading. Like, I think every rally is a sale. Every sell-off's not a buy, but every rally is a sale. It's going to be confusing how to play the earnings stocks on ones that are really beaten down. Like, I'm not going to be selling calls in Intel, but I don't know. I mean, Intel, Boeing, and Tesla are going to be tough for me because I have long positions in all three of them, and I have to figure out how to play those. But other than that, we'll have a little fun this week. That's all I got, Mr. Batista.
All right, sounds good. Listen, Ilya, thank you so much for your time, and everybody out there watching us, we do appreciate your support. We'll take a quick 90-second break, and we'll come back tomorrow. Sound good to you? Sound good to me too. Peace. You guys have never changed.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc., and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered interest.